Well, good morning again from up here. It's kind of convenient being able to just move from one thing to the next. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. That will be our text this morning. Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. He went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household." And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages teaching. Let us pray together. Righteous Heavenly Father, thank you for the many blessings that you've given us today. We thank you for this word about your Son that you have preserved for us. We pray, Father, that you grant us understanding and that you grant us, Father, the faith to act on the things that we hear today. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So in last week's text in Mark, we saw the power of faith. Right, the woman with the flow of blood had faith, and Jesus told her that her faith made her well. Our Lord also told Jairus, the head of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And Jairus, despite knowing that his daughter was dead, continued to follow Jesus. He wasn't driven out of the house like the other disbelieving people were. And in the end, because of his faith, Jairus received his daughter back. Because where there is faith, there is salvation. This week, we see the inverse of all of that. Where there is no faith, there is no salvation. Our text opens with Jesus returning to his hometown and participating in Sabbath worship at the synagogue. And as we've seen him do in other places, here he begins to teach. And the people who hear him at synagogue are amazed. Now, we've heard this kind of language before. Jesus goes to synagogue and he speaks and the people are amazed. Keep your finger here in Mark 6 and let's go back to Mark chapter 1. And we saw this very early on. Mark chapter 1 and verse 21. "And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, 'What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be silent and come out of him.' And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, 'What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him.'" So we have seen people amazed at Jesus' teaching in the synagogues before. Here, though, the amazement is different. They are not awed with belief. And notice, in the way that things unfold in Capernaum, they are amazed at the teaching. And after we learn of their amazement, then Jesus performs this mighty work in their midst. And it only serves to bolster their amazement at what has happened. And in what we read, we can see them rejoicing in this fact, that they are hearing a new teaching with authority, that Jesus is able even to cast out unclean spirits. these people in Nazareth are not so awed. They are not amazed, leading to some mighty work, leading to further amazement. Here, they're amazed with disbelief. Notice that they talk about, in Nazareth here, in Mark 6, they talk about exactly the same kinds of things that the people in Capernaum were talking about. Listen to the people of Nazareth in the synagogue. What is this wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? I find this somewhat baffling, because they're still calling him wise. They acknowledge the power of his teaching, the power of his understanding. They acknowledge his mighty works. Right? They've seen and heard of miracles, and they call them what they are. And yet, and again, these are the very things that the people of Capernaum marveled at and believed. They hear the teaching, they see the mighty works, and they believe. The people of Nazareth did not believe. It wasn't for a lack of wisdom on Jesus' part. It wasn't for a lack of miracles. It's Jesus himself that they have a problem with. They take offense at him. Again, they seem to be offended that they are hearing wisdom and seeing mighty works coming out of some carpenter that they know personally. They know his family. They know where he's from. And it upsets them that such a man as this could speak with wisdom and perform mighty works. This is instructive, I think, for our understanding of our own witness to the world as we go out and proclaim the kingdom. Right? When people that we meet and people that we know reject the good news of the kingdom, a lot of times we want to pin that on ourselves. Right? Like we get down on ourselves. If only I had spoken more persuasively. Right? If only I had displayed the holiness of God in myself better, I could have won these people over. This is not to say, by the way, that we shouldn't try to be persuasive, you know, to be winsome, to have our speech seasoned with salt, as the scriptures say. It's not to say that we shouldn't manifest the character of God. Right? Again, these things are written all over scripture. But sometimes, in fact, I'd say fairly often, people disbelieve because they have a personal problem with our Lord. Just like the people here in Nazareth did. May you mean to tell me that guy dares to speak with wisdom and perform mighty works? And it's offensive to them. And people today continue to be personally offended at our Lord. Different folks have different reasons. They've got different hang-ups. But these kinds of hang-ups are not uncommon. And so again, I think it's instructive for us. In a sense, we can take some courage in that. And it also helps us understand how better, I think, to minister to people. Our text shows us that. Our text also teaches us the consequences of disbelief. And again, we find that this trip to Nazareth is the inverse of what we just read last week. All right, Jairus' daughter, the woman with the flow of blood, were saved on account of faith. Right, we made a point of that last week, that the word that's translated to be made well means to be saved. It was life and death that we were talking about last week. And on account of faith, they received life. They were saved. But here in Nazareth, we learn, actually we read something that might kind of shock us a bit at first reading. Mark tells us that he could do no mighty work there. I don't think that Mark is telling us that our Lord was powerless to heal the sick or to cast out demons in Nazareth, that in some way his power depended on other people. I think that Mark is telling us that the people of Nazareth cut themselves off from the salvation of God because of their disbelief. The message of the gospel is that the righteous shall live by faith. But the people of Nazareth don't have it. They allow their personal hang-ups to get in the way. They're offended. Again, this carpenter's son can have such wisdom and power. So the end of our text this morning mirrors the beginning of it. Jesus had come into town. The people were shocked at him. Now, he is shocked at them on account of their disbelief, and he leaves town to go proclaim the kingdom elsewhere. The city of Nazareth has missed the kingdom. It's a terrible thing for any person to miss the kingdom of heaven. And that's why we proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ each time that we meet. There is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. If you, like the people of Nazareth, have some kind of personal hang-up about Jesus, I implore you to not let it cut you off from the salvation of God. Right? Not to be too blunt about it, but get over it, please. Better that than to go to hell. We invite everyone who needs to obey the gospel to believe in Jesus Christ. Turn away from sin, confess Jesus as Lord, and be baptized into his death, burial, and resurrection for the remission of sins. We invite you to live faithfully following after Jesus. If you need to make that response to the gospel, we invite you to do so by coming forward as together we stand and sing.